The conversation that you're about to hear took place on April 13th, 2020, between actress and producer Neha Kakatrova and myself, Abhijit Naskar, a neuroscientist. Enjoy the conversation.
This is huge, regardless of which sector of the society it impacts. It is huge.
Yeah. I mean, I'm by no means an expert on every sphere of the industry, but it's gonna be like a great filtering, I feel, for good and for bad. There's just most artists who are trying to create content are kind of struggling one way or another. It's very rare that you have somebody who just have tons of time and tons of money and like doesn't have deadlines. Even the studios who do have tons of money, they have very strict deadlines. So obviously, you know, everything just being suspended in mid-air means that when we go back to work, let's say a feature film, let's say it only has five actors as the lead, so it's a small project, right? Those five actors, it would have probably taken producers like a year to 2 years to secure funding, to secure distribution and sales, and it really depends on, you know, certain named actors playing those roles to get that funding. Now, let's say Reese Witherspoon was meant to be filming March and April for something that somebody got funding for the last 2 years. So she's now not doing that. Well, she's booked to be filming something else in August. So it kind of means that film is like, well, what do we do? And I don't know what they're going to do. I mean, I suspect some actors will get a lucky opportunity where they wouldn't have before because they desperately need to cast somebody for that role. So that might be a nice little shift, you know, maybe like a B or a C-list actor will get a role that they weren't expecting to be able to play. However, it also means that certain projects, the funding's just going to get cut because they're like, well, you promised us Reese Witherspoon, now we don't have Reese Witherspoon, that's it, out. So unfortunately, a few companies will probably go into liquidation and go bankrupt. I'm sure they'll start up again and they'll be fine, but they've been working for this for a while, so to have things fall flat like that will be very upsetting. The real kind of indie filmmakers who never really had that much funding to begin with, I suspect they're going to be turning all their budget towards, you know, paying rent and paying loans and doing all of that. So they probably won't be able to make their projects right now or like for the rest of the year, just because, you know, it's not like you have an infinite supply of money. So that's going to affect people. The studios, I suspect, because there's just been all this content that's being watched and rewatched, so there's going to be a deficit of content. So I'm hoping a lot of my friends who are writers, directors, producers, actors will suddenly, you know, get tons of work because the studios are going to be like, oh my God, there's this great black hole we need to fill. Let's film as many projects as we can. So I'm hoping that's going to happen and kind of like balance things out for people.
There's certainly going to be... It's probably kind of, and also kind of an explosion of need and demand. I mean, literally, yeah. In the past few years, the amount of content created has been, I mean, enormous. So to keep up with that, I think the creators, the writers and screenplay writers, all of them will have to work even more, I think, after this.
Yes. So I'm hoping very much so that people living in LA, which is, you know, a city that makes a lot of content, I'm hoping that we're all going to see a lot of work and a lot of bookings. I do worry for people who were just about to film because I think it's thrown a giant spanner in their works, and I suspect there'll be a lot of bad news for people. But generally, I mean, the one thing that is being used right now is grocery delivery and content. So we're kind of in a good place to be creators because people are going to want more of what we do.
I think it also gives us, I mean, regardless of whether you are in filmmaking, whether you are in writing, literature, or painting, art, or science even, regardless of that, and this also gives us, a crisis gives us the opportunity to practice our creativity. I mean, we have to think outside the box. We have to think outside the circle that we have been used to for centuries, even. I mean, I was looking at people actually have already started taking photographs through FaceTime, even, and creating music videos through Zoom. I mean, what the heck is happening? It's a kind of a new kind of content that's coming to light.
So
yes, since it is a crisis, and it's in a, such a great scale that we have never experienced it before, ever before. At such a great scale. So yes, it is scary, but at the same time, the opportunities are also right there in front of our very eyes. I mean, people are thinking outside the box. Even think about filmmaking. Even, I mean, this also makes forces studios perhaps. Studios will have to be focusing on even graphics more. I mean, they would think about how to make the movies, make the content without visiting so many places or without visiting so many locations. So they can do that, all of that, with the computer graphics right now, and they would be using it even more.
Mm. Yeah.
And then we have deepfake, which is a kind of making people just. But again, there comes the policy, there comes the legality that you have to get people's permission to even use their avatar. This crisis, yes, makes us scared, but it also it also forces us to use every single tool at our disposal in this current context, in this context of quarantine. Like, we have to do our work. I mean, people will still have to keep on working some way, one way or another. I mean, not everybody can afford to keep on staying at home without work. People have to keep on working. So the work continues. So they have to think about using every single tool that we have available at our disposal, whether it is technology or any kind of new creative idea, anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, there's certainly been a huge shift to people being a lot more self-sufficient and independent in just the amount of technology that's available to use at home. So most actors will have a little self-tape studio corner, you know, it won't be up and ready, but it probably takes them 10 minutes to set up. Whereas 10 years ago, you know, they had to go to a studio to record stuff. So people already have editing equipment, people have basic recording equipment for even recording audio for like audiobooks and things like that. So people have things they can be doing already in their home. They don't have to go out and buy equipment. So yeah, this is definitely going to push people to to get even better at it.
Yes, I mean, as for filmmaking, yes, and in case of music, people have been already using it. I mean, the artists, the composers, they already have a mini studio at home where they can compose music. And many of the musicians that have already been doing like YouTube Live at their home studio.
Mm-hmm. So
this also makes us think, I mean, what we could do in a crisis. We would all think that at a crisis that everything ends, but it doesn't end. It's a new beginning. It's a new beginning, and perhaps in most cases it's a better beginning.
Yeah, I mean, as long as there's power and internet, I feel like we can do this. If the internet shuts, like say, like all of LA had like an internet power cut for a few days, things would be very different. I mean, yeah, we really need to have that connection to be able to do, to be able to collaborate, to be able to receive scripts, you know, to do all of that. But as long as there's those things, there's a lot creators can get busy with. Yeah. I wonder a lot, you know, I wonder how long the lockdown will carry on in California. I wonder how it's going to affect the rest of the year. I was thinking today, for example, you know, how here everything tends to, in terms of making stuff and casting, everything kind of tends to shut down on Thanksgiving, and then it doesn't really get going till like mid-January. So there's kind of always like a bit of a quiet period. So I'm suspecting this year we're going to be working all the way through, just because there's going to be so much to catch up on. So there's not going to be that little break that you kind of get around the holidays. So I think, like, you know, enjoy this time to do whatever it is you need to do to feel relaxed, to feel replenished, to feel healthy, to feel like ready to go. Because in many ways, as an artist, I feel like I'm preparing for like a really big marathon. Like I need to be ready in every single way. My energy needs to be on full, or my stuff needs to be ready to go. Like I feel like it's going to be a really long, a long year once we get going. I don't think there's going to be time to breathe, which is great. But yeah, I was just kind of thinking, I was thinking like everything's going to change. Nothing's going to be the same for a while. So
this has changed us as a species, as a, mm-hmm. as a kind, has changed us. I mean,
yeah.
We have had thought, we have had to think about others as well, not just ourselves. I mean, so far, most of humanity have been self-obsessed. Us, just me, and me. And mm-hmm. this thing, and Mother Nature just said, okay, me. So let's just see how powerful you are. And it just mm-hmm. shut everything down. So literally brought the whole world to a standstill. So yes, hopefully this will make us think. This will make us understand ourselves better and take better decisions in life as well. I mean, thinking about the, for example, the very cause of the pandemic, the origin. It happened because we in China, regardless of who, it's just all of us in this together. So we cannot just say that they did it. So it's us. I mean, whatever they are us. So we are all of us this as one. So yes, we did it, and we started eating, like consuming wildlife, and that's how it spread from wildlife to us. It was just a ticking time bomb. It was.
I'm amazed it hasn't happened before on this level. I know it's happened several times in a smaller level, but it's amazing that we've been able to get away with it for as long as we have. Because it's so biology so easy like that, you know? It can just turn around and bite you.
it has happened before, and it didn't happen at such a large scale because of the travel. I mean, before when it happened, the world was not so much connected as it is today, internationally. Mm-hmm. So before that, there was not so much international travel, not so many flights. So it was contained at a small scale. But today, the whole world is connected internationally every single minute. And that's how it spread so fast. And literally but still we need to give credit to science, to medical science, because of recognizing and understanding the virus so fast. I mean, compared to the previous times, because of all the advancements we have made, we have actually understood it much faster. And that saved a lot of lives. If it had happened better, people would have died at a much larger scale. So today we have science and we recognize it in a matter. So China, it started in December, and the Chinese scientist released the, so there is the thing, like every organism has a genetic code in it. Okay. Mm-hmm. So this virus has a genetic code in it, a genetic sequence in it. So because of all the advancements that we did, China was able, the scientists were able to release the genetic sequence of the virus to the world. And that helped us a lot to recognize it, to screen it, to test people whether they have the virus or not. And then again, now we are working on a vaccine. The vaccine is not going to happen soon enough. So scientists are already doctors, already trying out treatments. So in case of treatments, we have, like, other than vaccine, it doesn't treat diseases. So it prevents diseases. So it cannot be used on people who are already sick.
Yeah.
So who are already sick, for them, we have two methods. One is to use antibodies, which means the body's ability to fight a virus. So another is repurposed drugs. That is, those drugs that have already been used in other diseases, that are already used in other conditions. Mm. For example, chloroquine is currently popular right now, even though there is not much medical data that it actually has any kind of positive effect, not substantial data that it has positive effect on COVID-19. So it is being tested as well. Then there is antibody, which is those people who have recovered from the virus, from the disease.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we take the plasma from their blood and they mm-hmm. have this, they have the fighting capacity. They have these antibodies that can fight the disease because their body has already recovered from it.
I was wondering why that didn't happen like 3 months ago, why we can't just suck it out and give it to people.
No, actually, because you see, in case of medicine, it's not actually magic. We cannot, people are always think about medicine as if, okay, there is this cure or there is this vaccine or there is this pill. So just because there is this pill, they assume that it can cure things, it can treat things. So to make it safe, we have to go through testing. You have to test it enough. But even compared to a vaccine, these antibodies taking out the capacity from the recovered people and injecting it to, it has already actually started. Several hospitals have already, FDA has already approved it for several hospitals, and we're already trying it in several places. And currently it is showing promising results in people.
Right.
So it's especially people who are in critical condition. So mm-hmm. this is what we call compassionate use. So the FDA approves a treatment for those people where there is no hope. So there is no other thing. So what have you got to lose? So let's just try it. So the FDA has approved it, and various scientists across the world are trying it out, and we are seeing promising results. So yes, the antibody treatment, the plasma, it's called convalescent plasma therapy. So we take out the plasma and put it in the people. And people are recovering faster than usual. They are recovering from critical condition faster than usual.
Okay.
So this is much more promising than the vaccine itself. And so let's just hope for the best. I mean, doctors and scientists all over the world are working at it full throttle, how to deal with it. And, but we also have to make sure that it is safe, that it doesn't have any kind of side effect, it doesn't cause any other disease.
Yeah,
that is the whole point of it. Developing a vaccine is no big deal. It takes a little bit of time. And it takes from, let's just say, a few months at most to develop the vaccine at most. But developing a vaccine doesn't mean that the vaccine actually works.
Yeah.
So that's where, I mean, you would be seeing the news all over that, okay, this company has the vaccine. So people naturally have the tendency to assume, okay, now everything is going to be cured and everything. But just because there is a vaccine doesn't mean it does work. It has to go through animal testing first. Then it has to go through human testing at a small scale. And then several thousand people. So these, from smaller groups to larger groups, going through that several phases, if still we have positive results, so then we can release it to the public all over the world. But we have to be sure. So it takes time, the vaccine. So until then, our own responsibility towards ourselves, towards our society, is the one thing that will cure us, that will stop the spread. I mean, the doctors and the scientists are doing their best to find a treatment, to treat those who are critically ill. But other than that, it's not just the responsibility of those health workers. The responsibility also lies on us as well, each one of us, every single person. So, I mean, you would have seen that people are just going around still, the youngsters and teenagers on spring break, and they're just enjoying, as if it's just their life. I mean, they're saying, okay, if I get it, I get it. So what? But the point is, it's not just your life. I mean, you may get it and you are healthy. So in many cases, more than 60% of cases, people are actually not aware that they have the virus.
So really?
It's called asymptomatic. So which means those who are infected, more than 60% people won't even know. They won't have any symptoms, or they will have very mild symptoms. So how will they know? But they can still spread. It spreads to another person, older person, who has pre-existing medical conditions. They can get sick. They can go to intensive care and at a critical condition, and some of them will die. So these reckless people will be responsible for the death of these people. So that's what we need to prevent with each one of us.
Yeah. Yeah, that's something that's a lot of people have had trouble understanding, I think, because they just really think it's on them. And it's like, no, it's so much bigger than you. And then I know there are some people who have opinions. And it's true that, you know, financially, a lot of people are going to, you know, a lot of small businesses that aren't chains, they're going to close down forever. They just can't. You know, it's that 30 grand that it's just, they just don't have. Maybe they're already in a little bit of business debt. I know there's some places in LA, like on the high street, that are going to be shutting down, like a couple of boutique diners and, like, you know, just the little people kind of thing. And so they're like, oh, well, this is going to ruin more lives, you know, than just people getting sick and dying. This is going to ruin, you know, families, businesses. It's going to ruin everything. And it's like, yeah, well, what can we do? You know, it's not just one person. We have to all look after each other and protect each other.
Yes. So it's the responsibility of all of us. I mean, and the best thing is that's what I've been saying for these past few weeks. It's not just about we have to stay home. That's the only way to stop the spread. But at the same time, if you can afford it, if you are in a position to help, so help as many people as you can, either personally or through relief funds, because not everybody can afford to go through this.
Yeah.
Because if we do not help, only the privileged will get out of this alive. What happens to the rest? We have to take care of all of them. We have to take care of all of us, each other.
Yeah.